produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. As always, life is exciting, and we've had another wonderful week. November is a phenomenal month because we have this great family tradition, this national holiday that we call Thanksgiving. And a number of years ago, I started a kind of a tradition, and I kind of dropped it for a little bit, but this year we restarted the tradition. And that was that each day of the month of November, via Facebook, I make a post referring to it as Thanksgiving Month, Gratitude Day number one, Gratitude Day number two, and all the way through to the end of the month, Gratitude Day number 30. And of course, when you start something like that, you have to be mindful of, well, what is it that I'm actually grateful for? What am I thankful for? And the reason why I want to focus on that a little bit in this program is, as a family value, it is so important that we teach our children and our grandchildren this wonderful principle of gratitude and thankfulness in all that we have and all of the blessings that we receive and all the bountiful gifts of life that Heavenly Father blesses us with and all the material possessions that so many enjoy. We can tend to be not as mindful of those blessings and almost take them for granted at some point. So with our children, it's important to teach this principle of gratitude and thankfulness. Now, because Thanksgiving is just a one-day event, and there's usually a big meal, and sometimes around that dinner table, we take a few moments to have everybody express what they're thankful for. And, you know, within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, that conversation is over and everybody's anxious to eat. And then there's activities and football games on TV and the day goes by. And so out of the entire month and out of the entire day of Thanksgiving, if most families are lucky, they've had 5 or 10 minutes to really talk about or think about being thankful. Hopefully there's a prayer before the meal and those blessings are described and extended appreciation for. But the reality is, we don't spend a lot of time pondering on the gratitude and thankfulness that we should have for God's tender mercies and for His many, many blessings. So just as a little quick review, so far in this month, we're up through the 17th of the month as of this recording. And when it airs, it'll be the 18th. And so we've had 17 days of gratitude to talk about so far. And it started off for my post with notating a heritage of family faith was day number one. And that represented parents and grandparents. And because of the amount of information to share about that, I extended it to 2 days. Heritage of family faith and expressing the gratitude in my heart for parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who blazed a trail of being true disciples of Jesus Christ and setting that example for me. The next post, day number three, was about Jesus Christ, salvation and eternal life, and the importance of recognizing that through Jesus Christ, we have this great gift of salvation and eternal life. How important is that? What more is there to be grateful for than just that alone? But yet, there is so much more. The fourth day of gratitude, we talked about religious liberty and the example of the pilgrims leaving Plymouth, England, and coming to the New World and landing in the Massachusetts Bay Area in Cape Cod and establishing a settlement there, and how they literally almost starved to death. And due to the good kindness of the Native Americans, they were taught how to fish, how to plant certain crops. And there was that special day of Thanksgiving where they all came together and celebrated. And that kind of was the beginning of our tradition for Thanksgiving. It became kind of a national thing with George Washington, and later on formally established by Abraham Lincoln, and then later in the modern era, I think starting around with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it became an actual national holiday. So Thanksgiving and the faith of those who brought religious liberty to the New World. And of course, because of that, on the fifth day of gratitude this month, we talked about founding fathers and their faith, and specifically some of the pronouncements of our first president, our founding father, if you will, George Washington, and his reliance on divine providence, and the importance of recognizing his hand in all of man's affairs. And of course, the sixth day of the gratitude month is a special day for myself and for my wife, because that is our anniversary date of our marriage. And so November 6, 1971 was the date of our marriage. And of course, this year marks our 48th year of marriage. Much to be grateful for with regard to a wonderful wife who's been a great helpmate, a great spouse, a great wife, a wonderful mother, and a fantastic grandmother, and just an all-around wonderful person. I love my wife, Rita, and I'm eternally grateful that Heavenly Father allowed me to have her become my wife. Such a blessing. On the 7th, because it represented the 101st birthday of the famed Baptist evangelist Billy Graham, I indicated my gratitude for his ministry and his example, and how as a tender young lad at the age of 7, that it was at a Billy Graham crusade that I dedicated my life to the Lord. And that started my, if you will, my walk with the Lord and discipleship with the Savior. The next date of November the 8th, Abraham Lincoln was reelected as president of the United States on that date in 1864, and talked about his legacy of preserving the Union, establishing through the Emancipation Proclamation the freeing of the slaves, and literally the preserving of our nation through the great struggle that we know as the Civil War, and his leadership in making that that reunification possible. The 9th was designated years ago as World Freedom Day. It was on that date that the Berlin Wall came down and great freedom swept through Eastern Europe as the collapse of the Soviet Union occurred. And so great celebrations occurred throughout the world and continue to this day as we recognize World Freedom Day. Now, of course, on November the 10th, 1775, Continental Congress established a Marine Corps, soldiers that would be able to fight on land and sea. And so this year marked the 244th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. I express gratitude for that, and also the fact that our second son, Robert, served in the Marine Corps, Semper Fi. On the 11th of November, of course, we celebrate Veterans Day, and that provided me an opportunity to express gratitude for my father, who served in the U.S. Army in the Second World War, my father-in-law, who served also in the Second World War in the Army, as well as our son Robert that I mentioned, who served in the U.S. Marine Corps, and currently our son Ronald, who serves in the U.S. Army. Very thankful for veterans, past and present, for family members, and for all of those who have served and sacrificed so much for our nation, that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy, and that we have the wonderful nation that we live in. So thankful for their service. A little change of pace on the 12th. In the month of November, a number of years back in the early formation of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it was determined that the many revelations that the prophet Joseph Smith had been receiving should be put together in a book. And so that book is now known as the Doctrine and Covenants. And we talked a little bit about Revelation, the prophet Joseph Smith, and the Doctrine and Covenants on the 12th, Day of Gratitude. The 13th, World Kindness Day. Now, that was a fun day to think about the many random acts of kindness that we could perform on behalf of others. And of course, as was established, kindness, World Day of Kindness, was incorporated a number of years ago. And there was a quote that I shared that indicated, kindness is how a Christ-like person treats others. And a quote from one of our apostles from our church indicates, our small and simple acts of kindness and service will accumulate into a life filled with love for Heavenly Father, devotion to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a sense of peace and joy each time we reach out to one another. The World Kindness Day. Following that was just kind of a nice little reminder of the words of a song that gives us a reminder that there's a time for all seasons. And if we remember in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, it says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So I labeled that post on the 14th as God's Wisdom, Timing, and Goodness. Because, as we all know, everything, our activity in this world is meaningful, more meaningful as we rely on the wisdom of Heavenly Father, rely on His timing and His goodness. Now, on the 15th, I chose as my day of gratitude to celebrate was grandchildren. And of course, we are so thankful for our 5 grandkids, our Kevin, Kaylee, Mackenzie, Jordan, and little Ruby. They all never cease to amaze me, you know, with their creative and crazy antics. They're so much fun to be with, and it brings me great joy to see how much they enjoy being together, especially the 4 teenagers. These cousins, they just enjoy doing things together and having so much fun. And, of course, I'm thankful for their parents, our children, who have done such a wonderful job in rearing our grandchildren. And of course, then, our next date is the 16th, and on this particular day, which just happened, I chose for the beauty of the earth. And in those words of that song, it talks about, I am thankful for the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, hill and vale, tree and flower, sun and moon, and stars of light, for the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth, friends above, Lord of all, to thee I raise this my hymn of grateful praise. And my last post so far for the month is on the 17th, gratitude day number 17, Jesus Christ, his atonement and the sacrament, or some would refer to it, the Lord's Supper. And I indicated in this post that I am eternally grateful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made it possible through his atonement for each of us to return to our Father in heaven. I am thankful that Jesus instituted the sacrament as a reminder of his great atoning sacrifice. I am grateful that because of his love for each of us and his willingness to be obedient to his Father's will, he subjected himself to the agony of Gethsemane, where he took upon himself our sins, endured the humiliation of arrest, trial, scourging, and ultimate death on the cross. Thankful I am that he overcame death and was resurrected so that each of us could do so as well and have eternal life. Because of his great vicarious gift on behalf of all who have ever lived upon the earth, I am and will be eternally grateful. So, we have much more months to go, and we'll be talking more in subsequent broadcast about the remainder of the month. But I want to focus a little bit about this particular topic, the atonement of Jesus Christ and the importance that it plays in the history of mankind. This coming weekend, I will be on Sunday appearing with a panel of an interfaith panel consisting of Christians, Muslims, and Jews, where we'll be speaking about the historic Jesus. And it'll be fascinating to hear the perspective of different faith groups as we talk about Jesus. Here in our program today, I'll take the liberty of talking not only about the man Jesus and his place in history, but the Jesus Christ that I know as my Lord and Savior and Redeemer. I'll share a little story here that I just came across. It's from a young man at the time who was serving as a missionary for our church back in the mid-1800s. He later became a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. But he had a powerful dream that changed his life forever. And his name was Elder Orson F. Whitney. He said, "One night I dreamed that I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, a witness of the Savior's agony. I stood behind a tree in the foreground. Jesus, with Peter, James, and John, came through a little wicket gate at my right. Leaving the three apostles there, after telling them to kneel and pray, he passed over to the other side, where he also knelt and prayed. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy wilt." As he prayed, the tears streamed down his face, which was turned toward me. I was so moved at the sight that I wept also, out of pure sympathy with his great sorrow. My whole heart went out to him. I loved him with all my soul and longed to be with him, as I longed for nothing else. Presently he arose and walked. Presently he arose and walked to where those apostles were kneeling, fast asleep. He shook them gently, awoke them, and in a tone of tender reproach, untinctured by the least show of anger or scolding, asked them if they could not watch with him 1 hour. Returning to his place, he prayed again, and then went back and found them again sleeping. Again he awoke them, admonished them, and returned and prayed as before. 3 times this happened, until I was perfectly familiar with his appearance, face, form, and movements. He was of noble stature and of majestic mien. The very God that he was and is, yet as meek and lowly as a little child. All at once the circumstance seemed to change. Instead of before, it was after the crucifixion, and the Savior with those three apostles now stood together in a group at my left. They were about to depart and ascend into heaven. I could endure it no longer. I ran from behind the tree, fell at his feet, clasped him around his knees, and begged him to take me with him. I shall never forget the kind and gentle manner in which he stooped and raised me up and embraced me. It was so vivid, so real, that I felt the very warmth of his bosom against which I rested. Then he said, "No, my son, these have finished their work, and they may go with me, but you must stay and finish yours." Still I clung to him, gazing up into his face, for he was taller than I. I besought him most earnestly, "Well, promise me that I will come to you at the last." He smiled sweetly and tenderly and replied, "That will depend entirely upon yourself." I awoke with a sob in my throat, and it was morning. Now, this tender personal glimpse of the Savior's loving sacrifice gives us an introduction into the significance of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the atonement of the only begotten Son of God in the flesh is the crucial foundation upon which all Christian doctrine rests. In the greatest expression of divine love this world has ever been given, its importance in our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, cannot be overstated. Every other principle, commandment, and virtue of the restored gospel draws its significance from this pivotal event. The atonement was foreordained, but voluntarily act of the only begotten Son of God, in which he offered his life and spiritual anguish as a redeeming ransom for the effect of the fall of Adam upon all mankind and for the personal sins of all who repent. The literal meaning of the English word atonement is self-evident. At one meant the bringing together of things that have been separated or estranged. The atonement of Jesus Christ was indispensable because of the separating transgression or fall of Adam, which brought two kinds of death into the world when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Physical death brought the separation of the spirit from the body, and the spiritual death brought the estrangement of both the spirit and the body from God. As a result of the fall, all poor persons born into mortality would suffer these two kinds of death. But we must remember the fall was an essential part of Heavenly Father's divine plan. Without it, no mortal children would have been born to Adam and Eve, and there would have been no human family to experience opposition and growth, moral agency, and the joy of resurrection, redemption, and eternal life. The need for this fall and for an atonement to compensate for it was explained in a premortal council in heaven, at which the spirits of the entire human family attended and over which God the Father presided. It was in this premortal setting that Christ volunteered to honor the moral agency of all humankind, even as he atoned for their sins. In the process, he would return to the Father all glory for such redemptive love. This infinite atonement of Christ was possible because he was the only sinless man ever to live on this earth, and therefore was not subject to the spiritual death resulting from sin. He was the only begotten of the Father, and therefore possessed the attributes of Godhood that gave him power over physical death. And he was apparently the only one sufficiently humble and willing in the premortal council to be or foreordained to that service. I testify to you, my dear friends, that this great gift of Christ's atonement is universal, infinite, and unconditional. And I testify to you that we are so blessed to be able to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and be the heirs of redemption, to have his holiness and his grace to make us pure and clean, so that through repentance and keeping the commandments, that through Jesus Christ's atonement, we can return to be with our Father in heaven. I testify of this and these simple truths, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving to one and all. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.